Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. I'm a little behind today, so I'm going to catch up as best as I can. We are continuing our Bible study through the book of Genesis, and we will begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they will be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, you instructed the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit. Grant us by the same Spirit to have a right judgment in all things, and ever to rejoice in his consolation through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. We are continuing our study through the book of Genesis with Genesis chapter 3. Now, the snake was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He asked the woman, "Did God really say, 'You shall not eat from any of the trees of the garden?'" The woman answered the snake, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. It is only about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, 'You shall not eat it or even touch it, or else you will die.'" But the snake said to the woman, "You certainly will not die. God knows well that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like gods who know good and evil." The woman saw that the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eyes, and the tree was desirable for gaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. When they had heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the breezy time of the day, the man and his wife hid themselves from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The Lord God then called to the man and asked him, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, but I was afraid, because I was naked, so I hid." Then God asked, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I have forbidden you to eat?" The man replied, "The woman whom you put here with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, so I ate it." The Lord God then asked the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman answered, "The snake tricked me, and so I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the snake, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all the animals, tame or wild. On your belly you shall crawl, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between the woman, you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. They will strike at your head, while you strike at their heel." To the woman he said, "I will intensify your toil in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children, yet your urge shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." To the man he said, "Because you have listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you not to eat, cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat its yield all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bear for you, and you shall eat the grass of the field. By the sweat of your brow you shall eat bread, until you return to the ground from which you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man gave his wife the name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. The Lord God made for the man and his wife garments of skin, with which he clothed them. Then the Lord God said, "See, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. Now, what if he also reaches out his hand to take fruit from the tree of life and eat it and live forever?" The Lord God therefore banished him from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he had been taken. He expelled the man, stationing the cherubim and a fiery revolving sword east of the Garden of Eden to guard the way to the Tree of Life. The Word of the Lord. These words here today recapture and retell us the story of the fall into sin. It is a very familiar story, and there are very familiar parts to the story that many people have gone over many, many times. And so today I'm just going to highlight a few things. One of the first things that people misunderstand about this is that it's not really talking about an actual snake, although snakes crawl on the ground on their belly and so on and so forth. This is not the explanation where once they had legs and now they don't. What this story is talking about is that the deceiver, the devil, came in. He was the most intelligent of all the creatures that God had made, of all the wild animals in particular, in this particular scripture here. And he brought a question to the woman. Now, why is he called the snake? The simplest answer to this is just simply that the quote-unquote snake is a name for an individual, a being, that is called a snake, a serpent. We can see throughout history that people take nicknames, for instance, or that people have names that mean something else, like in the example of Peter, his name means rock. So, is he a rock? Is God talking to a rock? Not exactly. He's talking to a person that he's referring to as a rock. And in this case, that's more or less what's happening here. The individual who is only identified in the earliest parts of Scripture as the snake here is the adversary Satan. And he's given this indication of being a snake because he's cursed as a result to crawl around on his belly, to wander the earth, to not have the dignity of standing upright anymore. That's his part in this whole thing. Something somebody asked me beforehand is, what was the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Basically trying to make the argument that it couldn't be an apple, even though that's what's depicted in many paintings and frescoes and stuff like that over the years. It had to be a fig tree, he said, because when you get down in there, it says they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. Not necessarily. Didn't have to be a fig tree. Could, maybe was, but we don't know. The only thing we know is that there were fig trees in the area. There were figs in the area. And that's something right there. So that was all there for that particular situation. But it doesn't tell you what type of fruit it was. Why is an apple used? Well, in Europe, that's a predominant type of tree. And it's the most widely known tree because it's been associated with that. With this particular story, to be exact. So that's something that we need to remember. It's not that it was an apple. It's not that it was a fig. In fact, we're not even told what type of tree it was, other than it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Did they have the knowledge before they ate? In a sense, yes, they knew that if they ate of this fruit, something bad would happen. It's just like if I tell you not to jump off a bridge. If you jump off the bridge or off the building, bad things will happen. You can know that simply by me telling you that, just like God told Adam and Eve. And that's really where the problem comes in. It's not the knowledge that was forbidden. It was the unlawful way in which they pursued that knowledge. And that's something a lot of people miss in this particular story. Because the sin that is talked about here is not referred to in any way, shape, or form as any other kind of thing. One of the big contrasts that comes up here is that the man and the woman were naked, and they sewed these fig leaves together. I had a guy trying to tell me, oh, it's about, you know, improper use of sexual activity. No, it's not. No, it's not. The sin was relating to disobeying God's command. Notice what it says. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eyes, and a tree desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of its fruit. Isn't that a description of how we pursue sin every day? We see it being good for something, for our benefit. It's something that is pleasing. It's something we could look at and go, yeah, that's good. And it answers a deep-seated desire. Makes no difference whether you're looking at somebody, lusting at them, and wanting to have them in a very intimate sexual way, and you're trying to excuse the fact that you are attracted to him as a reason to commit your sin, or if you want that Powerball winning and that's so ingrained in you, you know it's a good thing because it'll pay your bills, it's pleasing to know that you'll have a life of ease, and it's very desirable because it answers a need in life. I could go on to a whole bunch of others, whether it be covetousness, murder, causing somebody harm. They all answer these three bells, these three counts. And it shows us that even though she knew that she wasn't supposed to do something, she was able to justify what it was. Many people have this problem with this scripture because she repeats the result, or else you will die. It was known that there was a consequence of death for doing the particular act. But they didn't immediately drop dead. The only thing that came about was their eyes were opened and they knew they were naked. And then they hid themselves. In the last podcast, we ended chapter 2 by saying that the man and his wife were both naked, yet they felt no shame. They were exposed. But they weren't afraid. There's a contrast being drawn in here. Jesus, when he talks about those who come into the light so that their deeds can be seen to be good, their good works can be testified to as real good works, yet those that stay away from the light do so because they don't want to be exposed for how wicked they really are. That's the problem. And that's what happens here. Another thing people miss when they're reading it is the man was right there, right by his woman. Because it says, she took some of its fruit and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her. That's a very damning statement when you think about it. He didn't say nothing the whole time. He didn't take his place to tell the serpent the answer to the question. And when she ate it, he was an accomplice. He knew full well what God had said. He knew full well what was the problem. She was deceived. He listened to her and ate. And that's the problem that comes in here. Many people like to say, well, God called to the man and asked him, where are you? And they want to go, oh, did he not know where he was? No, that's not what God was doing there. He came. They were hiding. So he was basically calling them out. Why are you hiding? Where are you? What are you doing hiding at this time of the day? I'm here. Aren't you ready to face the music? And that's when we get into this whole situation where they basically pass the buck. The man says, the woman that you gave to me, she's the one that caused this. The woman says, hey, the serpent did this. Nobody's taking responsibility. And the Lord God didn't have anything to ask the snake, that serpent, that foul one, the devil. Because he tells him, because you've done this, cursed are you among all the animals, tame and wild. On your belly you shall crawl and eat dust all the days of your life. Think about that for a minute. Eat dust. Nibble, chew. Devour humanity. Because ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Remember, man, that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. That's what the ashes from Good Friday, from Ash Wednesday, are to remind you. On your belly you shall crawl, and you shall eat dust. You shall seek whom you may devour, like a roaring lion, as Peter tells us in his second epistle. He's looking for you. I will put an enmity between you and the woman. This is what most people consider the proto-evangelicum. And it's a promise of a seed. There's promise of a Messiah. Between your offspring and hers. Her offspring. Paul says it was seed not to many, but unto one. But the translators here include us when they say they will strike at your head while you strike at their heel. If you look at the close to the epistle to the Romans, Paul uses this to point out that when we finally go into glory, when we punch our time clock for the last time and go into eternity, that's when we get a chance to crush him on his head. And we too get wounded a little bit, because our wound is the sin that we desire and do in life. He told the woman that her toil in childbearing will be more increased, that she's going to suffer. It's not going to be easy to be a mother. And then he puts this one thing that a lot of people misunderstand. Your urge shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. A subservient role? Patriarchy at its best? No, it's something a little bit different than that, but we'll deal with that when we talk about Cain and Abel, because in the tomorrow's version, when we start reading the next chapter, there's a little bit more that we need to look at. And then listen to what God says to the man. Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree that I told you not to. Too often we disagree with what God said because we listen to others. We don't recognize the authority of God. We're too busy listening to everyone around us. We listen to scientists about evolution and other scientific facts. Sometimes we listen to people talking in the pulpit that have no idea what it is they're supposed to be telling people. They've never really read this Bible. They've never really studied anything. They don't know. And that's sad. And here comes the curse. Cursed is the ground because of you. You're going to have to work all the days of your life to eat from it. Your toil is your children, men. And you're going to have intensity in your toil in seed bearing, just like a woman in childbearing. Thorns and thistles it shall bear for you, and you'll eat your food from the field. By the sweat of your brow you'll eat your bread, until you return to the ground from which you were taken. For you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Remember what the serpent was told he gets to crawl and eat? On your belly you shall crawl, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. That's why he's against us. A little bit more going on there. The man called his wife's name Eve because he realized that she was the key to a future and everlasting life. And God made man and his wife garments of skin and clothed them with it. The first animal sacrifice. The first sacrifice of blood. And with that, he clothed Adam and Eve. But then the realization sinks in. They're not ready for eternity yet. So he has to drive us out of paradise, east of Eden, and make sure we can't come back unless we truly know the meaning of the gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, O Lord, let me not be puffed up with worldly wisdom which passes away. Grant me that love that never abates, that I may not choose to know anything but Jesus and him crucified. I pray you, my loving Jesus, that as you have graciously given me to drink in with delights the words of your knowledge, so you would also mercifully grant me to attain one day to you, the fountain of all wisdom, and to appear forever before your face. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.